From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local news. A Juneau man missing from Riverview Senior Living was found alive in the building's attic today. 58-year-old Nathan Bishop, who has Parkinson's and dementia, was reported missing from the assisted living facility in the Mendenhall Valley on Saturday. Alaska State Trooper Luke Lemieux says police had previously searched common areas in the building, but not the attic. Staff went upstairs on Monday to address a mechanical issue.
Didn't cross anybody's mind to check, but was found this time, and he's alive, and he was standing up when I went over and checked to make sure that it was him, and so he's doing good.
Lemieux says there isn't security footage to show how Bishop got to the attic or whether he left the building at any point.
Just looking at from the area where it was at, he would have had to climb up a ladder and then open up a latch, or I guess there's two entrances from the roof. So we're just happy that someone found him.
Bishop was reported missing on Saturday. He'd last been seen at 5 p.m. that day without a coat. Lemieux says the search began that evening around 7 p.m. with the help of search dogs. On Sunday, Juneau Mountain Rescue and more than 70 community members joined the search.
It included the search of the entire valley, down to the Nugget Mall area, the airport, out to Fritz Cove Road, the university.
The search dog team and Juneau Mountain Rescue had been searching near the Kahtiguwuhin Day Brotherhood Bridge Trail on Monday when Bishop was found. 1 week ago, a deadly landslide came down across Zamovia Highway in Wrangell. It took down two family homes, killing four people. Two people are still missing, and one woman survived and is in good condition. The body of 11-year-old Kara Heller was recovered over the weekend. Wrangell's interim borough manager, Mason Villarma, says that's a testament to the ongoing search effort.
Truly one of the triumphs for the search and rescue team to be able to provide hopefully the start of some closure for the family, and hopefully they find everybody.
The bodies of Kara's sister Mara and her parents Timothy and Beth were found earlier in the week. Her brother Derek Heller is still missing, along with neighbor Audie Florschutz. Search canines remain on the scene, but the Alaska Department of Transportation has started to clear the road. A 200-foot stretch remains blocked by landslide debris. Until it is cleared, about 55 households toward the end of the highway are only accessible by boat. The city, along with community volunteers, has been providing them with supplies.
Our focus is the 11 to 13-mile folks that are stranded out there without power and supplies, and we've been trying to provide as many accommodations as possible, everything from prescription medications to fuel to generators.
Department of Transportation spokesperson Shannon McCarthy says the primary goal is to clear one lane of traffic to allow for the flow of emergency personnel and utility workers who will work to restore power. It's expected that will happen in a matter of days. But the landslide significantly damaged the road. There's no clear timeline for when it will be open to the general public. 63-year-old Christina Florschutz is the only found survivor so far in Wrangell's landslide. KSDK's Colette Czarnicki visited her at the hospital 3 days after rescuers found her. Here's what she says happened that night.
I had gone upstairs, which is important to the story, to take a shower because I like the shower up there. And I just gotten out of the shower, and I was still just in my undies, and I heard this horrible noise, a very loud noise, and I recognized it. I've heard tornadoes, and I've heard a mudslide before. I knew what was happening, but I didn't have any warning. I heard a noise, and suddenly I'm like a piece of weightless popcorn being tossed around all over the place and slamming into things and everything. And then I don't remember anymore for a while. Apparently I was out for a little while. And I could look, and my heart was just pounding. I had so much adrenaline, but I looked, and I could see some tree limbs. I was underneath this shelf edge that I figured out by feeling that it was part of the styrofoam roof of the house. And that's why the upstairs is important, because I was way up high. And it was canted at an angle. And then there was a bunch of debris piled right here, but there was just enough room for me underneath there. I was getting rained on and it was very windy, and I kept telling myself, you can breathe. You're not, you saw the tree, you're not buried. You must be near the top of the pile, wherever it is. And I did, had no idea it was that big of a slide at that point. I touched a plastic bag and I instantly knew what it was, because I had a large plastic bag up there in my sewing room, which was upstairs, and it was full of polar fleece yardage. Right then and there, I knew I was gonna live. I was gonna live. I was meant to live. God put that there for me so that I wouldn't die from hypothermia. So I squirmed back underneath there and I untied the bag and pulled the polar fleece kind of up over me and then pulled the bag over me to try and shield me from some of the rain anyway. And proceeded to wait until morning. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't fun. I got terribly cold and I had awful leg cramps. I was screaming with the leg cramps at times. And during the night, it was still really dark. I heard a very strange thump, 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 thump. What is that? And at first I thought it was somebody poking through the wreckage with a pole or something. And I'm hollering out, hey, I'm over here, you know. And thump, 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 thump. And then I realized, oh, it's one of my dogs sitting up there wagging its tail. So I talked to the dog during the night and told it to bark when somebody came so that I, if I was kind of half out of it, I'd be able to holler. And I haven't seen her. She wasn't there in the morning when I when it got light. And I squirmed out of there. I was shaking really hard, so I, at my feet, right at that corner of the house, was this bag. And this is part of the story. It's full of women's extra large and large jammy bottoms I buy at the thrift stores. And they're really good quality polar fleece. I shouldn't be telling my secrets. I had a bag just full of pajama bottoms. And so I put this pair on my head and just pulled it over my head and then wrapped the legs around my neck and knotted it on. And then I put my arms in another pair and I pulled on another pair. And then there were some scraps in the bag that are laying around that I could just wrap around my feet to protect them. And I took the bag with the rest of the jammy bottoms with me, because I knew once I got past that mud flat, I was gonna be all muddy and horrid, and I would want to get some warm, dry clothing on. So I had that with me, and I just decided to start going. As I couldn't go very fast, but I decided to just keep going. And I was about halfway across the debris field. I found a piece of siding from off the house. And when it was a really soft spot, I'd throw that out there and I'd kind of step across it till I could get to a piece of debris that was more solid. And then I'd grab it and go to the next one. And I have no idea how long it took, but I was so cold. And I get about halfway across that field and I can see where the trees are standing up, and there's a great big log jam there, so it's an edge. And I see hats coming through the trees, baseball caps. And people, boy, am I glad to see you. And they heard me yell and they came and got me. And it was not easy to get me across the rest of that field. It took about six or seven of them. They put me in a sled and dragged me across that field. And they worked so hard to get me over there because they were dragging that sled and they didn't have the plywood and they're heavier and they're sinking and stuff. And then they got me to a place where I could walk a little ways and then put me in this toasty warm truck. That's how I lived.
That's Christina Florschutz, a Wrangell resident who survived a massive fatal landslide on November 20th.